12 on income tax accounting. Thomas?
Thank you. Yes, in November last year, we discussed a comment letter analysis on a proposal on the recognition of deferred tax assets for unrealized losses. On the proposal included in the annual improvements exposure draft published in May last year, and from that comment letter analysis, we concluded that two further issues need to be addressed. This is, first of all, whether holding it is, if in the situation that you plan to hold a debt instrument until maturity and collecting all the contractual cash flows gives rise to a deductible temporary difference. And the second question was whether in estimating future taxable profits against which you assess the utilization of deferred tax assets, in estimating that future taxable profits, whether you can assume to recover the debt instruments for more than the carrying amount at balance sheet date. And the committee asked the board how to proceed with that, and in December 2012, the board discussed that issue, and the board said it should be the accounting for deferred tax assets for unrealized losses on debt instruments should be clarified as part of a separate narrow scope project to amend IS 12, and the board agreed that the two questions identified by the committee need to be clarified. And in addition, such a limited scope project would allow to discuss whether to amend IS 12 to achieve an outcome for the deferred tax accounting that would be consistent with the one that was recently discussed by the FASB for the same time of debt instrument. After analyzing the three issues considered by the ISB, we reached the following conclusion. First of all, we think there is a deductible temporary difference if you expect to hold a debt instrument and to maturity and collect all the contractual cash flows. We reached this conclusion in particular by also considering paragraphs 20 and 26D of IS 12. Second, we reach a conclusion that an entity can assume that it will recover an asset for more than its carrying amount when estimating probable future taxable profit. And third, we think that the ISB should not amend IS 12 to achieve an outcome for deferred tax accounting that would be consistent with the one that was recently discussed by the FASB. This is because we think it's not clear what the economic benefit in these deferred tax assets is if recovering the debt instrument by holding it until the unrealized loss reverses does not reduce future tax payments and instead only avoids higher tax losses. For ease of reference, we called an entity in such a tax position an entity in a loss position. The conclusion might be different, however, if we could identify an economic benefit in this deferred tax asset, but at least we on the star side struggle to see that. But you know, this is the core point, the center point of the discussion, and we would be interested to hear whether the committee members see the economic benefit in these deferred tax assets if the entity is in a loss position. Consequently, we propose, first of all, that the ISB should not amend IS 12 to achieve an outcome for the deferred tax accounting that was would be consistent with the one that was recently discussed and proposed by the FASB. Instead, we recommend to clarify the accounting for deferred tax assets for unrealized losses on the basis of an approach that results in the recognition of deferred tax assets unless the entity is in a loss position. This approach is based on the following conclusions. First of all, you have a deductible temporary difference. Second, you can assume to recover the asset for more than its carrying amount. And the taxable profit that you use to assess the recognition of the deferred tax asset is increased by adding back the tax deduction represented by the deductible temporary difference. In staff paper 12, we call this approach the ISV staff approach. Finally, we expect that clarifying the accounting for deferred taxes for unrealized losses on debt instruments on either the, an approach that is achieves in a consistent accounting outcome with the one that was recently discussed and proposed by the FASB, and by applying the ISB staff approach would result in significantly different amendments to IS 12. Consequently, we propose that the Interpretations Committee should ask the ISB for a tentative decision on the approach that is going to be the basis for the amendment before discussing further details and drafting a proposed amendment. Consequently, we want to ask the committee members three questions. First of all, do the Interpretations Committee member think that an economic benefit is embodied in a deferred tax asset for unrealized losses on a debt instrument measured at fair value if the entity is in what we call the loss position? Second, what comments do Interpretations Committee members have on the staff analysis? And third, does the Interpretations Committee agree with our recommendation?
Thomas, question for you. And maybe to Alan, too. Is this the sort of thing that we have to take to the board in a public meeting, or could we do it in small group meetings with board members and feed those views back to the committee?
I think probably small group meetings would be okay, actually, okay. Because the board's not being asked to make a decision. And you're not getting a collective view of the board. You're actually soliciting views of individual board members.
Yeah. So I think just in terms of tying up board time and the ability, this is not an easy topic to get your brain around, or at least my brain around. So it might be more efficient to do it in small group meetings with board members and then feed those individual views, as Alan says, of board members back into the committee. But that's an important but not critical distinction. Laurence?
On this, from a due process standpoint, whether you should have a public input from ISB on such an issue. I know this is a huge issue for certain types of industries. And if the committee agrees with the staff proposal, this is going to create a major difference with US GAAP. So how comfortable are we able to take that type of decision ourselves, or do we need more, you know, in terms of due process towards our constituents, do we need more support from ISB going, you know?
I guess
not preempting the discussion. I don't know what people would think, what the committee members think about the proposal, but
I take your point. We will ultimately have, the board will ultimately consider this in a public meeting. We're just subcontracting the work on this. So the board will ultimately deal with it in a public meeting. At the staff level, if we were trying to draft this and wanted to get preliminary views of the board members, we'd probably do that one-on-one with them or in small group meetings. So it's certainly not depriving anybody of anything. But. Yeah. Scott?
I think this is a very good analysis. I agree with the outcome. I think you've very painstakingly walked through all of the questions that one has to ask in more detail than I would have, but it makes the I think it makes the analysis and the conclusions very easy to follow and very clear. So support the analysis. I think this can be done through small changes to IAS 12 to make it clear. I don't think it's going to take a whole lot of words to do it. So I think we're in the right direction.
Joanna?
It's good analysis, very definitely. The end outcome in terms of the recommendation, I think is appropriate. I got there by a slightly different route than Thomas did, using Joanna logic, but I got to the same answer, and when I think about it again now, I think I got there actually for the same reasons. I do empathize with the US view relation, not so much that it's OPI, and therefore should be dealt with separately, but that actually just thinking about these individual instruments and they've gone down and they're going to come back as to why you should consider them as a whole, I empathize with that, but that is clearly not what IF-12 says. IF-12 says you've got to look at it as a whole, and therefore I think that you almost can't reach any other conclusion than Thomas has reached. Where we go from here, I'm not quite sure, but I do support the analysis.
Others? Lawrence, again.
Is there a chance that the FASB would change their mind? If we go or would look at the issue differently, if we publish something, and is there a chance we could come up with a converged view?
I would be skeptical, as Thomas points out, because the FASB doesn't, to the best of my knowledge, embrace backwards tracing, which we do. And I think that's kind of fundamental to the analysis. Scott, I'd appreciate your reaction.
Personally, I think the FASB's got it wrong, backwards tracing or not. So I hope that when Thomas sends the FASB his paper, they will be convinced by it. And they will change their minds. Certainly, I have written a comment letter saying they should change their minds. So, it's my hope.
That's still, Thomas, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought that their changes were completed. They're still in the exposure period?
Yes, they're still in the exposure period. I think the exposure period ends 25 or so this month.
Yeah, the comment period on the exposure draft is actually still open for another couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely should send them this paper in any event because it is a significant issue. John, not as a comment letter, just for their information.
I mean, I agree with the staff analysis. I think it's correct. And I agree that the conclusion that you have regard when looking at the recovery of the DTA, you have regard to not just the carrying value of the asset, although I think that's you could read the alternative view into IAS 12, but I think it's sensible to look at to separate that issue and say the consideration restriction to the carrying value of the asset is really in assessing and determining the temporary differences, not determining the future taxable profits. So it seems to me to be a sensible approach. And I agree with the recommendation. I mean, I agree with the staff recommendation about how to deal with it. So.
Is there anyone who disagrees with the staff analysis? And we will make sure that this paper gets to Sue this afternoon. No reason why we can't email it to Sue Cosper this afternoon. Okay.
Wayne, one question, what's really important for us, in our work is, thanks first of all for agreeing with our recommendation. For the first question, what conclusion do we have on the first question? Do we see an economic substance for these deferred tax assets if the entity is in a loss position, or?
I think the sense was that Scott can clarify, but I thought the sense was people agreed with you.
I wasn't sure about that.
I think these are just like any other deferred tax assets, so you need to assess whether there will be taxable profit on which you can take benefit of the deduction, and if there will be, either in the period the deduction is reversed or in a carry-back or carry-forward period, then there is an economic benefit. If not, there isn't.
Okay. I think the essential point, Thomas, correct me if I'm wrong, is that less loss does not equate with profit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're done.